Will you pray with me? God, we know that you call us to discipleship. You call us to follow you. God, open our hearts so we can hear your message, so that we can hear your call to know how to bring your love and your light into this world. Amen. The passage from Matthew that we heard today begins with children. With children singing a song that is misunderstood. They played a happy song and no one danced. They played a song of grief and no one cried. Jesus says that they were misunderstood like John the Baptist. They were misunderstood like Jesus. The examples he gives is that John the Baptist goes and he's not eating. And they say, look, he's got demons, he's crazy. Jesus shows up, he eats with the people, and they say, look at that glutton, look at that drunkard. Isn't that the way that it often goes? People look for whatever reason it is to be unhappy, to be judgmental, to be cruel. And so these little children who are misunderstood are just like all of us. Jesus is not saying that the problem is when one individual is misunderstood or misunderstands someone else. Jesus isn't saying that that's where the failure is. Rather, that the failure is when the culture misunderstands, when there is a message that is so clear, that is given again and again, and humanity decides not to pay attention, not to even try. It becomes clear when we don't let ourselves be distracted by all that noise, all that chaos around us, when we just focus on who is in front of us, who is in need, who is calling out for help. This message of Christ is one of unconditional love and acceptance. And as I've said before, that is terrifying. Loving people is hard work. And as a society, we often don't understand that. We don't understand. It feels hard, so we think it must be the wrong thing to do. The message of love and acceptance is more clear when we look at those who are most rejected, those who don't fit in. This week, I had this amazing opportunity that came up at the very last minute. We have MCC, the whole denomination, not just our church, has an archive, and it is really just a couple hundred boxes that are in the basement of Pacific School of Religion, which is in Berkeley, California. And last week we found out that we could apply for this amazing program that would professionally archive much of what we have. So this is collections of newspaper clippings and handwritten notes and pictures and all kinds of things dating back from 1968 forward, a lot of things throughout the 70s and 80s, all showing our church and the start of the LGBT movement in this country. So this had to happen quickly, and I got to go and be part of this, myself and one other person, Justin Tanis, who's a former MCC pastor. We go down into the basement of the Pacific School of Religion, underground with all of these boxes, unfolding, opening, discovering what was. Now, I'm a big church nerd, and I love the history of our denomination. I love it. And holding in my hands tapes of sermons, photographs, things of all of these people, many of whom I've met, many who passed on long before I came into MCC, people who created this home that we are in right now, with their love for the outcast, the love for those who do not fit in. Not knowing you folks, not knowing that this will be a place of refuge for me and for you. This is our history. And it was humbling and amazing. I have to admit that, we had to work really fast, so I had to have my little emotional moments really quickly. But I, one time when I had to really pause and like got tears in my eyes was seeing the ad in the Advocate magazine that Troy Perry took out an ad and then posted his home address in this magazine to invite people to come to church. Talk about taking a risk in 1968 when it was incredibly dangerous to be gay and to be open. And he said, this is a church for us, and this church is in my house, and you're invited to my house. It was amazing to see. God has put in us, in all of us, that still small voice that calls us, that leads us not on an easy path, but on the path of love. In all these dusty boxes, and let me tell you, like seriously dusty boxes, we can see God's unconditional love. And this is why we have this project. This is why I want to scan these articles and these things so that all of us can have access to see where we came from, because it is an amazing story, who we are, why we are here. We are here because of the terrifying reality of saying yes to God's love. The terrifying reality of unconditional love. God asks us to ponder, what if? What if we take the risk? What if we live up to the potential that God has for us? And that is what discipleship is. It's about sharing God's love, living up to what God has called us to do in this world. So what does discipleship look like? People often think that discipleship looks like being a monk in a monastery somewhere, reading books and writing things. But I want to give you a different view of discipleship, one that's uniquely MCC. Discipleship looks like standing up to the Briggs Initiative. Which, does anyone remember the Briggs Initiative? Anyone who's a school teacher might know that history. Where in California they were trying to make it illegal for gays and lesbians to have anything at all to do with the school system. Which isn't just about the people who are losing their jobs. It is about a cultural message that we are inherently dangerous. And we are not. So standing up to the Briggs Initiative was a church movement. And for that, Troy Perry, the founder of our denomination, stopped eating. And like John the Baptist, as he was fasting and they said, he's full of demons and he's crazy, that is exactly a couple thousand years later what was said about Troy Perry, that he is full of demons and that he is crazy. And he sat there on the Capitol in Sacramento and he fasted for about 10 days. To the point that he was sick. But it gained recognition for the movement, and there is a spiritual quality to fasting. It got Troy ready for so much more. And more MCC churches started to pop up around the country. You know, ours was one of the first. We were the fifth church in the denomination. And we were preparing. We didn't know what we were preparing for. But we were preparing. And then the AIDS years came. And if you don't know what discipleship looks like, think about our movement in those years. No one in the entire world, no religious organization, no church did what our church did. In a time when people were dying, we showed up. And when churches all over this country were arguing among parishioners about whether or not they should do anything, whether or not they should visit people in hospitals, our people were there, bringing love and Christ's acceptance and Christ's blessing to those in need and to those who are grieving. These boxes in the basement of the Pacific School of Religion tell the story of our family, of lives that were cut short, and of the way that we responded not with fear or regret or shame. We responded with empowerment, knowing that God was calling us to do amazing things. We were called to do what no one else could in the name of Christ. God calls disciples to stretch beyond what we think is possible. Christ lets us know that we will find rest for the burden of following him. It isn't that there will be no burdens. It's that we will find what we need. We will find the strength and the courage to keep going. So what does this mean, this taking up the yoke and following, bringing Christ's love where it is needed? Of course, it's not only MCC that embodies this. We heard the reading this morning from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, Bonhoeffer is one of my favorite theologians. I know I say that every time I talk about theologians, my favorite theologian, but this time it's true. So let me tell you a little bit about him. He was a theologian in Germany during World War II, and he was a very prolific writer, and he wrote a lot about grace and avoiding this thing called cheap grace, the grace that we assume we have, but we don't have to do anything about. And then he got the chance to put his theological beliefs to the test as the church in Germany stood up against the Nazis, and Bonhoeffer particularly stood up against Hitler. And eventually this led to his execution. And yet Bonhoeffer saw himself as richly blessed. And what we know from his writings and what we know from the gospel and from the history of Christianity is that there is this clear message of liberation that comes back and keeps coming up and keeps coming up. And the wider society can squash it down as much as they want because it will always continue to rise up. And here is the reality of the gospel. The gospel is a message of good news for the outcast. It is a message of good news for the foreigner, for the minority, for the disabled, for LGBT folks, for anyone who is ever told that they don't belong, for people who are told that they are not good enough, that they are not whole, that God does not love them, that this message is for them. Bonhoeffer ultimately died for saying that. And yet, he said that his yoke was easy and his burden was light because he lived in that truth of Christ, and liberating others, people who were oppressed, was what God called him to do. And discipleship is costly, but it is worth it. Jesus calls us not to give way to the mighty, not to say, oh, you're right, we don't need to have rights. No, Jesus calls us to uplift the weak. And when we find ourselves in that position of feeling weak and feeling trampled, Christ calls us to be uplifted. And then when we turn and we see that our siblings are struggling, even if it's a struggle that we are not in, Christ calls us to lift them up. We identify with the struggles on the margin, even as that margin gets pushed further and further. Rest is not needed for the strong and powerful. Rest is not needed for those who have it easy. Rest is needed for the backs of those on whom the strong and powerful climb. Rest is offered to those who are worn down, those who are beaten down by injustice. And here we have this archive, resting in this basement. It's not sad or tragic that it's covered in dust. It's beautiful. It is this beautiful place of where we went and a reality that we are no longer in. A time when MCC churches had multiple funerals every single week, and we are not in that place. when cops would park outside and take pictures of people as they walked into MCC churches. We are not in that place. Today, when we have protesters, we can call the police and they will show up and make sure that we have the right to walk in our door. The archive is not just about this little trip I took for 2 days. The archive is about who we are, knowing that we came from somewhere and our struggle is not over, but our burden is not too heavy. Because we will continue to live Christ's call to discipleship and live in that bold saying yes when Christ asks for us. Amen.